This is Lisa Stone for Parenting Aces, and I'm up in the CBS broadcast booth with Mary Carrillo. We are on rain delay at the U.S. Open. It's been a crazy day of pretty much no tennis. Thanks for joining us, Mary.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Lisa.
So you grew up playing pretty high-level tennis as a junior into the professional ranks. I want you to talk with us a little bit about what your parents did well as tennis parents and what they might have could have done better.
Well, you know, neither of my parents really played. They started playing when I started to play. My dad is a very good athlete, still 87 years old. He's still rocking in the free world. But my mom didn't play, but she was a great support. I mean, even when I started playing junior, you know, tournaments in the East, she really still didn't have a good concept of the score. You know, she she didn't quite know what she was looking at, but she was, you know, I'd come off the court and she could tell when I'd lost, you know, and she'd say stuff like, "How are you? Are you hungry?" Because she knew she could solve that problem for me.
Are you Jewish too?
No, I'm not. I'm not Irish-Italian, which is a pretty hot mix. So my mom, Terry Sullivan Carrillo, would all she'd want to ever really worry about is if I felt okay emotionally and if I were hungry. So, no, they were excellent. And I was very lucky. I grew up in a little town that had tennis courts a couple blocks away, right down the street from where John McEnroe and Patrick McEnroe grew up. So, I mean, there were tennis courts that I could walk to. And there was a very good local coach that my mom started giving me lessons with him, a guy named Dan Dwyer. And then we started to go to the Port Washington Tennis Academy, the McEnroes and the Carrillos, carpooled and went there. And then I started playing tournaments. I basically, even though I'm 2 years older than John McEnroe, I started following him around and sort of did what he did because he was doing so well and he seemed to be having a pretty good time of it. So my tennis parents were really good. I mean, basically my mom drove me all over the place, drove me to practice every day after school. I was at the Port Washington Tennis Academy every day of my life, basically all through high school. She'd come to school and pick me up. She'd have made me food, soup or whatever, and she drove me to all the tournaments. You know, my father came sometimes. My mom came all the time. And I also, my best friend growing up was Rudy Garolaitis, whose older brother, Vitas, you know, was a star. So my mom and Mrs. Garolaitis were always too nervous to watch our matches because Rudy and I played each other a lot in the juniors. And they were both too nervous, and they would sit by themselves and chat while, you know, we were slugging it out. So they were supportive and not, you know, terribly, you know, but they really gave me all kinds of distance and all kinds of support, emotionally too, I mean, and financially. I mean, I skipped college. I had a bunch of college scholarships. I didn't take them because my knees were already bad, and I knew I wanted to at least try playing in the pros, and they, you know, they financed me. They were... I had ultimate. There are a couple of. I point to some tennis parents. Like Monica Seles had a terrific tennis father, and so did Chris Evert. I mean, there are some that you just point to and say. But for me, and for my abilities, and for my needs, I'd say my parents were quintessential tennis parents.
That's so good to hear. Yeah. You have two kids yourself, mm-hmm. neither of whom are tennis players, but they are athletes. And can I just ask you, did you take what you learned as a young athlete, and how do you apply that as an athlete parent now?
Well, we were lucky. Both of our kids are very good athletes, you know, and they're both bright kids. But, you know, they grew up in Florida, in Naples, Florida, very, very hot. They were in the pool just splashing around when they were toddlers, you know, and they never, you know, obviously tennis is a big part of my life. And their dad, too, he taught tennis. He was a terrific tennis teacher and coach, and he, you know, he ran a couple of different tennis centers where we live. So we never pushed them because we figured the last thing they wanted to do is hang around tennis. And Rachel, my daughter, has a pretty nice looking game. We gave her some good strokes and stuff. Again, their father is a terrific. I mean, he's a beautiful instructor. Anthony was never interested in tennis. He's a total team guy. And so he just ran around with his buddies and again, a lot of splashing around in the pool. And then he started playing basketball, which he really liked. He actually went to the Nick Bollettieri IMG Academy for 2 years for basketball. Isn't that crazy? He didn't even go for tennis. He's got homemade tennis strokes, and he just sort of tries to swing for the fences, basically, when he tries to hit hard, yeah. Big and hard, very
typical boy.
Caveman tennis. You know, it's kind of funny. But Rachel... You know, she too became a team sport player, And she played terrific high school volleyball. She still plays some intramural college volleyball. I'm very glad that they were athletes, and I'm very glad that they enjoyed sports. They're both very physical and very, you know, well-honed, you know, specimens. But neither one of them ever seemed terribly interested. Now that they've both been to the French Open and Wimbledon and the U.S. Open, I think they have some regret that they didn't play more as little kids. But they didn't seem interested, and we didn't want to push them.
Well, it sounds like you took a pretty sane approach.
It was pretty sane, considering it was for me. Yes.
And so if you could give advice to tennis parents now of up-and-coming junior players, you know, we have the Junior U.S. Open that's starting here now. It's unfortunately got rained out today. But what advice would you give to tennis parents?
You know, I think more than anything, it's got to come from the heart of the child. But tennis is one of those sports. It's not a street sport. It's not like the kids can walk outside and pick sides and start playing soccer or basketball or baseball or, you know, football. You've got to be taught tennis, you know, so you have to have grown-ups around you. And if it's not the parents, it's got to be somebody. It's got to be a coach or an aunt or a friend, you know. That's what's hard for a lot of people. I think the reason a lot of kids don't get to play tennis is because it requires grown-ups to drive and to, you know, teach and to coach and to, you know. And so that makes it, you know, so if you do have a kid who really wants to play, you have to support them in all those ways. I mean, you have to, and you have to be okay with the fact that you're really going to be giving up a lot of your days. I mean, I look back now, I can't believe how much time I spent with my mom, how much driving she did, just the drive, and then the hanging around. And she, I think she really liked it. Port Washington Tennis Academy was such a hotbed back then, and it was a fun place, and she's a very friendly, you know, loquacious, you know, verbal person. Anyway, she'll talk to anybody, and everyone talks to her. So I think my mom actually had a good time as a tennis parent. But I think it requires a lot of effort and a lot of patience. And if your kid isn't into it, you better know that and be okay with it and not keep trying to push it on them, you know?
That's a very important point.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to ask Novak Djokovic a couple questions in his press conference last night. And one of the things I asked him about was, you know, growing up in the war zone and all of that. And he had nothing. And he, you know, tennis was an escape from what was going on. And then I asked him the influence he has with his younger brothers who are coming up. Right. And he said, you know, now that he's who he is, he provides all this opportunity for them. And we hear constantly in the U.S. the problem with American tennis is our kids are too soft. And I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't follow up with him to say, you're providing all of this stuff for your younger brothers. Are you concerned it's going to make them too soft? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, knowing Novak and admiring him as much as I do, I've got to assume that his brothers see all the effort he puts into his daily existence to be the best tennis player he can. I don't think they would take it for granted at all. I mean, that's a very serious family. And I think his younger brother is the one who's really showing a lot of aptitude and will and desire. I think if you are a brother of Novak Djokovic, you wouldn't take it for granted because you see how hard that guy works. I mean, he spends every day, every second of the day trying to figure out a way to make himself tougher to beat. So I don't think, and I kind of resent it when people say American kids are soft. I think it's all very individual. You know, what I've always told my kids from the time they could understand me is, you know, judge people one at a time. You know, take them one at a time. No matter where they're from or what color they are or how old they are, you just judge people one at a time. And I think there are plenty of American kids who want to be great. And, you know, obviously there are other influences and cultures in other countries, and maybe there are actual advantages to being from somewhere other than this country. But, bye, Mr. Mack. But, no, I don't think that's necessarily true at all. And I think it depends on what kind of hunger you've got. Look at all the great American players who've been able to excel and shine. And even children of privilege can do well. It's really all about the kid and how much desire they have. And Novak knew from a very early age that this is what he wanted to do. You know, he watched Wimbledon one year when he was 6 years old and recognized that that's what he wanted to win one day. You know, so a lot of it is self-motivated, self-driven. And I think as a parent, if you if you want it more than your kids, you got to really step back, because it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And there are too many sacrifices for that kind of thing. You don't want to continue that kind of behavior. It's just not good for anybody.
I will vouch for that. I definitely will. Well, thank you so much for taking time.
My pleasure.
And enjoy the rest of your stay.
All right. Thanks.